Happy Sabbath. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord that a beautiful lady was baptized today into Christ Jesus. And I want you to know, it really is like a new birth, and you'll never be the same. And welcome to the family of God. So you know that when someone is baptized in the church, not only they are become a member of this church, they become a member of the world church. And does anyone know how many members we now have in Seventh Day Adventists? I remember when I got baptized way back, we had about 7 million. And then at the last GC, it was up to like 12, 13 million. But does anyone know how many members we have now? I know, but I'm just trying to help you out. Help me out over here. We have now 15 million Seventh Day Adventists. And in North America, this division here, which is the United States and Canada, for the longest, we could not go over 1 million. Now, praise the Lord, we have over 1 million souls now in the North American division. Now, what's interesting is this. There's a phrase for camp meeting. It's called, "Do it again, Lord." That is our phrase for camp meeting that's coming up. And for those that don't know what it means, our church began here in the Northeast. And it became a powerful spiritual revival movement that literally spread throughout the world. And we're told by the Spirit of Prophecy that in the last days, the Holy Spirit will come again to the east. And just like the church received the revival that began and literally spread throughout the world, it's going to happen again, but in the east. And it's interesting because I've been hearing a lot of stories, just like my sister, of how she is watching a fuzzy TV screen and yet she gives her life to the Lord. A lot of things are happening in the New York conference. For instance, your pastor, for those that don't know, one day was jogging. And he was impressed that there needed to be a church in Bath, New York. And just to cut to the chase, praise the Lord, after a lot of things that have gone through, there is now a church in Bath, New York. There's a lady who was inspired to just knock on doors and ask people if they wanted to study the Bible. And she has a health ministry past Jamestown. I'm trying to remember the name of it, Sherman, New York. But then she realized that it was beyond her abilities, and so she invited her friend Emiliano Richards to come and help. And Emiliano Richards started knocking on doors, and next thing you know, the Bible interest began. And I want you to know that they now have a church established, well, not fully established, but is now worshiping about 20 to 25 people in Sherman, New York. And I've been hearing of stories, and even my secretary at the conference, she just went back to see her family. And there was a cousin of hers who was constantly critical of her because of her beliefs in the church. And so when she goes back, she notices that her cousin is acting a little bit differently. And notices also that the cousin's words and mannerisms have changed, that he's more Christ-like. And finally, she asks, "What's happened?" He says, "Well, don't you know?" And, "No, I don't know." I said, "Well, the church that I've been very critical of and constantly harping on, I now am a part of." And she goes, "You mean you're now a Seventh-day Adventist?" And yes, she is now a Seventh-day Adventist. He's now a Seventh-day. Anyway, but I just want you to know, I've been hearing stories after stories after stories of how the Lord has been working in many people's lives. And I believe, just like the Spirit of Prophecy said, that this movement that has started in the East will once again a revival will begin in the East. I believe that it will happen again. And I believe that it's beginning to happen in our lifetime. The title of today's sermon is called, "What Kind of People Does Jesus Want in His Church?" Before we begin, let us have another word of prayer. Father, use me as your instrument of love. Guide me now, Lord, as we open up the Word, but most important, as we see Jesus in the Word. Use us now, Father. I do ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A while back, a young man started coming to church. And I remember because for some reason, he didn't look like the Christian. He didn't definitely act like the Christian. He didn't dress like the typical Christian. But there he was. He was coming to church. And the man had a problem with alcoholism. And it was very evident because the moment you shook his hand, you could smell it a mile away. And so I remember he would come to the church and he would sit on my right side towards your left, second row from the back. And finally, as he would sit there and the Sabbath school lesson was going, sometimes the breath was so powerful that literally, just from smelling him, you thought you could get drunk. And so what happened as time went on, people began to sit less and less in that area, and they began to go to other Sabbath school classes. But the man kept coming to church, and I remember clearly one time, One member asked this question that stuck in my mind. And he asked the pastor, "Pastor, is this the kind of people that you want coming to this church?" You know, it's interesting because that same question is a question that we think is something new. When we see people that are not the typical Christians coming into God's church, is the same question that was asked 2,000 years from one of God's elders concerning an unusual person. Turn to the book of Acts, please, as you read in the scripture reading, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And let's look at the text one more time, beginning with verse 1. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. "Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." Now here's a man who's taking initiative. If you ever want a member, someone to be a member of the church, you want someone to take initiative. "And he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any one of the way," in other words, those that were Christians, whether men or women, it didn't matter, "that he might bound them to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' Now, if there's anyone that you think should not be a Christian, in fact, if there's anyone that you say, 'Lord, push this person away from us,' well, Saul. Here's a man determined to persecute the church, determined to create a havoc, a man with righteous zeal. His goals were simple: capture, bound, drag anyone, regardless of age, sex, or education, who proclaimed to be a Christian back to Jerusalem. And now here it is, God strikes him, he's blind, and now God is calling an elder to the church to give a special message to him, beginning verse 10. Now the Bible says this: "Now there was a believer," I'm reading in a different translation this part, "in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' And 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to the street straight, to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so that he can see again.'" And every time you see the word "but," watch out. "'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, 'I've heard about the terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And we hear that he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest every believer in Damascus.'" Behind that question, what he's really saying is this: "Lord, is this the kind of person that you want in your church?" It's interesting because you see, what we want and what God wants many times are two different things. The people that God looks to and the people that we look to many times are not the same people. I want to share this with you. Some of the most obnoxious, some of the most overt sinners are the people that God actually called to be part of his church. Let's turn to John chapter 8 just briefly. We're going to look at one of the people just briefly that God called into his church. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Now here's a person who does not want to be in church, but was dragged to church. Now I know some children, sometimes you feel like you're being dragged to church. But don't worry, you're going to understand when you get older why parents want you in church. But here's someone who was dragged into church, didn't even want to be there. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, John chapter 8, verse 1. "Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses of the law commanded that of such should be stoned. But what do you say? Picture the scene. Here's this woman committing adultery. The elders come. They grab her. Literally, while she still has a blanket. They drag her down the stairs. They drag her into the street while she has a blanket. They didn't have time to change. They drag her through the doors of the church. They drag her right before the service in front of the pulpit. The woman doesn't even want to be there. Is this the kind of person you want in the church? A woman who overtly commits sins? A woman who desecrates the law of God? Is this the kind of person you want in the church? Doesn't the church have standards? Don't we uphold the Ten Commandments of God? Yes or no? And here's this woman brought before Christ. And it's interesting how the Lord treats these people. Verse 6. This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stoops down and begins to write with his finger as though he heard them not. So when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him do what? Let him cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and began to write. It's interesting. You see, her sins were overt. Everybody knew who this woman was. Everybody. The local merchants, the doctors, the elders, the church members, they knew about this woman. But the difference is that her sins were overt. But all these people that came to Jesus, the difference with them is that their sins were inside their hearts. And what Christ did was he exposed their sins on the ground. And when they realized that the same Jesus that now sees the sins of this woman is the same Jesus that also sees their sins, they had nowhere to go. And the Bible says one by one, as they read their names and they read their sins, they left. And I love how Christ treats this woman that nobody wants, that was dragged into the church. Then those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the eldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You know, a while back, before I go on, I remember, in fact, just 2 weeks ago, there was a woman that was very critical of the church. And she said, we have to call sin by its name. And I said, yes, we do. But before we start calling other people's sin, we have to name it. And she goes, what do you mean? And I mentioned her name. And I mentioned my name. You see, before we can point out other people's sins, we better make sure that we clearly point out ours first. And when she had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accused of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says this, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It's interesting because the Bible tells us in the spirit of prophecy that this woman was Mary. And the same Mary, as you know, was the first to see Jesus resurrected, the first to touch Christ, is the same person who would not leave the side of Jesus. Is this the kind of person you want in the church? When the world saw a sinful woman, Jesus saw the woman that she can become. When the world saw a woman without hope and destitute, Christ saw the same woman with hope and a change of heart. Turn to Luke chapter 22. We have another character. Luke chapter 22. A man with a very foul mouth and a harsh disposition in life. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, beginning with verse 54. And having arrested him, the scene is very clear. Christ is now arrested. And look what happens to his disciples. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the house, in the midst of the courtyard, and they sat down together, Peter said among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him. You look familiar. This man was also with Jesus. But he denies him, saying, woman, I don't know Christ. Now you would think a disciple, in fact, an apostle, spending 3.5 years with Christ, you think that they would change, yes or no? You think that they'll become more like Christ. In fact, Peter was part of the inner circle. Forget the 12, he was part of the 3. If you ever notice, when Christ stepped aside, there was always Peter. In fact, just before, Christ told Peter that he would deny me. And Peter said, you know what, Lord, I will never deny you. In fact, all may deny you, but I will stand by your side. But look what happens. And after a little while, another saw him, say, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, this fellow was also with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. In the original language, it basically says that he was cursing. His old sailor's tongue came out. And he was trying to make the point, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a follower. I don't walk with him. I don't eat with him. I don't know the man. Leave me alone. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord. He had said to him, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. You talk about Jesus needing his apostle in the time when he needed him the most. And Peter turns his back. He denies Jesus. Is this the kind of person you want in the church? Someone who can't stand for principles? Someone who's pushed by public opinion? Someone who, when things get really tight, runs away? Is this the kind of person you want in the church? But you see, when Christ sees us, he sees what we can become. He doesn't just see where we're at. He knows how when we give our lives to Christ, we can be molded and changed into a new creation. And the same Peter, later on, after the resurrection, once again meets Christ, and Christ forgives him. And I want you to know, Peter was never the same. The next time he had to stand up for Christ, the Bible says in the book of Acts, he stood in holy boldness. Never again, ever, did he deny his Christ Jesus. And now we come back to Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard of him. How many times about this man? In other words, Lord, is this the kind of person you want in the church? Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized like my sister. And so went he, and he received food and was strengthened. And then Saul, the same person, praise God, after some days with the disciples of Damascus, immediately he began to preach Christ in the synagogues. The same synagogues that he was going to arrest the Christians, he's now entering the same synagogues, praise the Lord, and preaching Christ, that he is the Son of God. You know, Christ called a prostitute. Christ called a crude-mouthed fisherman. Christ called a self-righteous scholar. Sometimes when you look at these people, you're wondering, Lord, do you know what you're doing? Are you calling the right people into the church? Is the Lord making a mistake here? No, he's not. Christ wants all to come into his kingdom. Because when he sees you and I, praise the Lord, Yes, we might come as a sinner, but he sees us what we can become in Christ Jesus. He sees us as a whole new creation. Friends, when people come clamoring down the doors, don't see their sins, but try to see through the eyes of Christ what they can become. This same man that was a member of the My Haven Church that I told you in the beginning, that came with his breath, that came stinking clothes, that came that people didn't want around, this same man, praise the Lord, ended up becoming the head deacon of that same church. And today, that man is one of the greatest soul winners of that church. In closing, I remember a while back, I was pastoring a church, and we started a food pantry program for the homeless and for those that were out of work because of 9/11. And I remember how we started with 10 and then 20, then 30, then about 50 that kept coming for the food pantry. And finally we started the community service program to feed the homeless. And now they're up to 30,000 people in 3 months, about 10,000 a month. But I remember clearly, I was walking through the streets, and I asked some of these folks that were coming, what church you go to? They said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. They were not members, they were not baptized, but because of the program, they claimed to be Adventists. And I remember clearly one day they got there early at the food pantry program, very early because they wanted to be the first ones in, first one out. And some of them were crude mouth. Some of them had bad breath because of alcoholism. Some of them had stinky clothes because of their drinking. And I remember clearly one elder came to me and said, Pastor, look at these people. They're lining up. And I thought it was going to be praise God. And he says, look at the people. Are these the kind of people you want in the church? I could not believe he was asking that question. Some things just don't change. Just like Ananias asked that question with the Lord, many of us ask the same question today. And all I could do was point my finger to him and say this, are you the kind of people that God wants in this church? Let us pray. Dear Father, I want to thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus. And Father, thank you that you see beyond what we can see. Thank you, Father, that you take us and you recreate us. You change the way we talk. You change the way we eat. You change the way we dress so that we can become more and more like you. Father, thank you for the power of the gospel to change people. And Father, as we see others and we look at others, help us to see what they can become when they have that spiritual relationship with you. Guide this church now and bless us, dear Lord. I do ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.